Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lynn Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. Light the fuse and run now, brother, because you ain't got a lot of time. Don't you act surprised.
We'll go 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. One thing I am not going to shut up about, because it affects me and it affects you, and where we can come together, I'll do everything in my power to do the best thing that we can to stop government overreach. And this is one. So the property tax issue is really irksome to a lot of us, especially if you got your assessment. If you're like me, you're challenging your assessment. This is one protest that we can do, is we can flood the various assessor's offices in our counties with challenges to that. But there's also a lawsuit against the property tax thing that was passed. I call it the thing because that's what it was. It's just a big thing, right? So this bill that was passed by our whack job legislature and signed into law by our Governor McPhee, this bill is an insidious takeaway of your Tabor rights, basically. It's going to take away your Tabor refunds in exchange for a small reduction in a massive tax hike. So you're getting a massive property tax hike either way, but in exchange for a smaller, slightly smaller massive tax hike, but still a massive tax hike, you lose all your Tabor refunds. So that and for a couple years, they'll give you a check, right? That'll make you feel really good. So it's just more of these shenanigans from our state legislature. They knew this was coming. It was a problem they created by deceptive language, repealing the Gallagher Amendment that would have kept all that in check. They repealed it on purpose because they wanted more of your money. And I believe this whole thing was planned. I believe that they planned it by deceitfully getting that ballot initiative that repealed the Gallagher Amendment. I believe they planned to wait until after the reelection of Governor McPhee. And I believe they planned to wait till the very end of the legislative session, immediately following the bribery that got him reelected by sending out those supposed Colorado cash back checks, right? I believe all of that was planned, and it's all part of a long-term design to take away your Tabor refunds. That's me, tinfoil hat wearing Leland Conway. Nonetheless, there's a lawsuit that could upend this entire plan. It's being joined by many counties. I think we're at, we'll ask here in just a second, but I think it's a majority of counties in the state. But it's a significant number of counties that are challenging it, as well as a number of other groups. And basically, the idea is that this Proposition HH, which is part of what came out of the law that we have to vote on, hey, do you want to give up your Tabor refunds and get a slightly smaller massive tax increase, or do you just want to get a massive tax increase? That's the choice on Proposition HH. Problem is, it is encompassing a lot of different issues, not just one, which state law says it can only encompass one. So there's a couple of grounds that this thing is being challenged on, and if this lawsuit is successful, it could upend the entire plan. Joining me now, Ben Murray, my friend from the Independence Institute. They are following this. They have been on top of this issue. They have been informing you. Guys, if you're not following the Independence Institute, if you're not going to their website and seeing the stuff that Ben Murray's putting up on this issue and many others, you're missing out and you're not informing yourself. Ben, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Leland, thanks for having me on.
All right, a lot of words there, but I just wanted to give everybody kind of the quick synopsis. So let's get into this lawsuit. This could literally upend what I believe is a plan that's been in place for a while to eventually get rid of Tabor refunds in an end around. How does this lawsuit potentially upend that? Let's break that down.
So the lawsuit claims that the bill that referred Proposition HH to the ballot, that's Senate Bill 303, violates Article 5, Section 21 of Colorado's Constitution. And this is commonly referred to as the single subject clause, the single subject requirement in the Constitution. In other words, this bill has a bunch of subjects, not a single one, and constitutionally it's only allowed to have one.
Right. It talks about affordable housing. It talks about the property tax thing. It talks about changing. I mean, it literally covers like four or five, maybe even six different topics, doesn't it?
Right. And so the lawsuit says that the bill covers at least four subjects. I think it's pretty clear it covers more than just four subjects.
Right.
But there's certainly a strong, and if you're filing a lawsuit, you want to make the strongest case you can. there's a very strong case that that covers at least four subjects. I think anybody with a shred of common sense can see that it covers far more than four.
Right. And so, really, we've kind of got a two-pronged approach here. One, we're asking everybody to challenge their assessment, right, for as long as you can. And that floods the assessor's offices with these challenges so that they're dealing with that. And then we're asking that, you know, people support this lawsuit, that it could potentially upend it from that direction. What happens to the bill if this lawsuit is successful and Proposition HH is basically struck from the ballot? Do they get a chance to go back and rewrite the HH? Or are the things that were in this bill so inexorably tied to Proposition HH that it effectively kills it for this entire cycle?
So it depends on how the court rules. But I can read what the Constitution says about this.
Yeah, please do.
It's quite clear in my view, although courts, don't be surprised if the court bends over backwards, sure, politicizes this issue and rubber stamps
the measure.
I can't imagine them ever doing something like that, right? So it says, but if any subject shall be embraced in any act which shall not be... So I should add some more background before I get to this.
Yeah, please.
The single subject clause in the Constitution has a second part to it, and it's sort of the clarity of the title. So not only can it only have one subject, that subject must be clearly expressed in its title. And the lawsuit claims the bill is in violation of both. It's in violation of single subjects, and the subject isn't clearly expressed in the title, which I agree. I think they're right about both points. So this is what it says. If any subject shall be embraced in any act which shall not be expressed in the title, such act will be void only as to so much thereof as shall not be so expressed. So what happens with this will largely depend on how the court rules. So obviously they could strike it down altogether, the lawsuit. They could, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know all these legal terms. But they could do that. And then, I suppose the court could say, well, this part isn't expressed clearly in the title, so this will be void, but these other parts still stand, right?
Right. Douglas County joined the lawsuit the other day, and they mentioned both sides of that, too, that it's not clear. And I think you and I have talked about this before, but one of the most maddening shenanigans that our state legislature can engage in legally is that they are allowed to somewhat obfuscate the language in these ballot initiatives, where if it's you or me, it has to be very, very clear. And so they often start these ballots with, like, without raising taxes. And I think in this case it says with regards to reducing property taxes or something like that. I mean, I don't have it right in front of me, so
I do. I have it right in front of me, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's one of the biggest issues with this in my view. The bill title begins like this: concerning a reduction in property taxes. The thing is reducing property taxes is not the primary purpose of this bill. Taking away our TABOR refunds is the primary purpose of this bill. Ending TABOR is the primary purpose of this bill. But the part in the bill that ends TABOR refunds is buried in the middle of the title using really ambiguous language. It says this. So first it says, concerning a reduction in property taxes and in connection therewith, blah, 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 and we're going to spend money on all these wonderful things. And then it says, after a semicolon, permitting the state to retain and spend revenue up to the Proposition HH cap, and that's buried in the middle of this long title.
Right.
That part right there, permitting the state to retain and spend revenue up to the Proposition HH cap, that's the part that's telling you they're going to take away your TABOR refund forever.
Right.
Now, how many people reading that are going to know that that means their TABOR refund's going away forever?
Very small number.
But that's the main purpose of this bill. The main purpose is to get rid of your TABOR refunds. Yet they start it with concerning a reduction in property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that alone is a clear violation of the, you know, subject being clearly expressed in the title requirement.
Yeah, I would agree. And also, again, when you talk about allow the government to retain, you know, people that are not deeply involved in politics, they TABOR refunds, that means I get money back that the state overcollected. They are not necessarily going to associate that with the phrase allow the state to retain funds. That clearly makes it sound as though this isn't even going to affect your TABOR refunds, because it insinuates that it's money the state already has and we're just going to be spending that. The problem is that money they refer to the state already has is money they took too much of from us, and hence ties back to the TABOR. But again, people who aren't like in the know, they don't listen to this show, they don't read the Independence Institute stuff, they don't follow your YouTube videos on this, they won't connect that, because they're not intended to connect that. It's deliberately designed to obfuscate that fact.
That's right. And that's how we ended up in this situation to begin with. When they repealed the Gallagher Amendment, which was a protection that would have prevented this massive increase in property taxes, was previously in our Constitution, legislators referred a repeal of that protection to the ballot. And the way they worded that was they said, without increasing property tax rates, shall we fund all these nice things? And people looked at that. I'm sure the average Joe looked at that, reasonably so, and said, right. Oh, we're going to finally start to actually prioritize fixing our roads and funding our schools, and you're not going to increase my taxes while you do it. They do that. They manipulate the ballot language. They deceive us. I won't go so far as to call it a lie because it's technically accurate, but they purposely deceive us. They put us over a barrel, and then they come back and they deceive us again to take even more from us.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I say the whole thing was planned, because it's the legislature is too, what's the word I'm looking for? It's pretty clear that there's a lot of disdain for the average taxpayer in our legislature.
A ton of disdain.
Yeah. And I think there's almost, to me, I feel this is, I'm just talking impressions here. So I'm kind of getting a little esoteric and I'm getting off the facts. And I know you guys deal in facts. But for me, I feel a condescension and a sense of, as we said, disdain for the taxpayer. And I feel almost as if the legislature sometimes is literally proud of how often they pull the wool over people's eyes. And I think that $750 check from the governor last year was part of that. And everybody that got, it's almost like they test and see how much can we get. Oh, they're that dumb. We'll go ahead and do this then. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like they're proud and they will tell you what they're going to do to you if you just have the ability to understand the language of what they're saying. And then they'll turn right around and do it to you in front of broad daylight. So it's frustrating from a taxpayer standpoint, because I feel like we're constantly under attack, and that their largest and most powerful weapon against us, Ben, is the ignorant voter.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think ignorance is the right word. I mean, I don't think the people of Colorado are stupid, but do think they sometimes just don't know, right?
Yeah.
And that's our job, is to make sure that people know.
If
people knew what was going on, they would be furious at their legislators. You know,
right.
Sometimes after a while, when the pain mounts, as they start to see these growing tax bills, they start to wake up. They start to go, wait a second, well, what's going on here? And I think on this property tax issue, that's happening.
I think you're right. And I don't want to use the word dumb. I was just kind of basically more coming at it from where their perspective. I think they think we're this dumb. I don't think people are. I think you're right. I think most of the time people have jobs, they have lives, they have families they care about.
That's right.
The last thing they're worried about is the minutiae of politics. And here's a legislature that's willing to use that ignorance against them. But what I do feel is a tide turning on this issue. Like they overplayed their hand just one time too many, because I've seen too many of my friends on the left, Ben, that have been equally incensed by this, because they do figure it out. They have listened to me. They have listened to you. They have been checking out different sources. They have seen people like Kyle Clark. I got to give him a lot of credit on 9 News calling this out. Right. And that's allowed this to seep into areas of the electorate, so to speak, that maybe wouldn't have paid attention as closely to this in the past. And I think it's also just the severe threat that comes against property owners, no matter what your politics are. And once they see that and they see that assessment, they're like, holy crap, right? And then people are starting to pay attention. So I'm hoping that's the case.
And I think what Kyle Clark said was just spot on, right? He said, you know, Governor Polis, you're a really smart guy. Even people who don't like you acknowledge you. You're smart.
Yeah.
You're a savvy politician. But that doesn't mean the rest of us are stupid. We see what you're doing.
Right.
You know, I think the people of Colorado see what's going on here. Let me get back to the lawsuit really quick.
Yeah, please. Sorry.
There's a part of that that's really interesting. You know, if you look at how the court has ruled on that single subject clause in the Constitution in the past, what they've said is that the purpose of that single subject clause is to make sure that a particular law or particular, measure passes on its own merits. It doesn't get adopted because it was married to something else unrelated. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that's exactly what the legislature is doing in this case. Is, you know, they tried to take away Tabor refunds forever back in 2019 with Proposition CC. It was a standalone measure that was put on the ballot that said, can we just keep your Tabor refunds? And the people of Colorado said, heck no, right? And because they failed when they asked people directly, they're now tying, taking away our Tabor refunds forever to a little bit of property tax relief. So.
Right.
You know, it's not just in violation of the plain text of the constitutional provision. It's in violation of of the spirit of the constitutional provision, what the courts have said about it, that, hey, this exists so that every individual measure that's put before the people, it passes on its own merits and doesn't just pass because they're being extorted. You know, they need to adopt this in order to get this other thing, right?
Right, right.
It's such a clear violation.
No, and this is why I'm glad we got organizations like yours and others. Advance Colorado is the organization that is behind the lawsuit in general. Do you know how many Colorado counties have engaged in this lawsuit?
So 12 counties are plaintiffs on the lawsuit. And I'm glad you brought up Advance Colorado because they've done a really good job with this. I mean, they're the ones who initiated this lawsuit, got other plaintiffs on board, including citizens, counties, former and current local and state officials. I mean, this is a big lawsuit.
Yeah. And there's a lot of really important and populous counties that are involved in this. I know El Paso County is, Douglas County, I think you just mentioned. And if I encourage people to go to Advance Colorado and just check them out, do what you can to help them out. I mean, because I was going to ask you, like, how can people help this lawsuit go along? And I imagine it could use some funding, right? I mean, lawyers.
Well, no,
because
this is dealing with something that is set to be on the ballot this November, they're expediting it, and there will be a ruling this week.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So yeah, we're expected to have a ruling this week.
Okay.
If the ruling doesn't go their way, then we'll have to fight this on the ballot, this measure, Proposition HH.
That's what I was going to ask. If this doesn't work, what do we do then? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, you know, you're really going to be wanting to support organizations like Independence Institute that will be educating the public, because we are a nonprofit educational organization at the end of the day, and that is our mission, is to educate the public about these issues. And if the lawsuit doesn't go the right way, then this will be about educating the people of Colorado so that they're not ignorant. So when they go to vote, they know what they're voting for.
And I guess I hate to go down that road, but let's say that the lawsuit does fail, and we do have to start looking at informing as many people as possible. We're also in a bit of a catch-22 in that we're going to be dependent on the fact that this is going to be so colossally bad that it's going to force the legislature to hopefully do something about it after the people call their bluff. But we're still calling a bluff. It's like a high-stakes poker game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this won't be over if we defeat Proposition HH. Unfortunately, our elected officials have put the people of Colorado in a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
It'll be bad if Proposition HH fails.
Yeah.
Because our property taxes will go up a whole lot. And it'll be even worse if Proposition HH passes.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this goes to the ballot, if the lawsuit fails, I mean, it's going to be so important to go to thinkfreedom.org. Thinkfreedom.org is our website. And, you know, I almost never say this on radio, but, you know, we're going to need resources. Go there, donate to our organization, because we're going to have to educate the public, and educating the public, frankly, I mean, there's no way around it. It takes resources.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with you saying it, because we need organizations like you that are dedicated to informing people. And that's why I always like to have you on, because it's so important. I'm like you. If the judge does the right thing, then they rule the right way. But I'm not confident of that, you know, despite how strong the case is. So we got to be ready for all of this, and we've got to fight it all the way to the end. Ben, as always, it's great talking to you. I appreciate your take on these things, and I appreciate that you guys are doing this work at the Independence Institute. Thank you so much, and we'll check back in with you as this week rolls on.
Appreciate it.
All right, have a good one. IndependenceInstitute.org. Or as he said, thinkfreedom.org. That is how you can contribute, because I guarantee you we're going to need their help on this. I hope the ruling goes the right way, but I think we're going to need their help on this. All right, lots more to get to today. I've got some more audio coming your way. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
And now, back to more Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Well, this is definitely something we've needed for a long time. Apple's iOS 17 features enhanced autocorrect that makes it easier for to type out curses. Technically, improved autocorrect functionality is what Mac Rumors is calling one of the upgrades that comes with Apple's iOS 17 for iPhone. CNET puts into perspective what actually that means. Quote, your iPhone keyboard can learn curse words now. Apple unveiled its newest operating system on Monday at its Worldwide Developers Conference, showing off how its word correction, according to newser.com, and prediction system has been much improved. Mac Rumors note that now, if your phone decides a word needs correcting, but you don't want such a correction, a line will appear under the corrected word, allowing you to simply tap the word to get back to the original version. This I'm excited about. Have you ever done that, B-Large, where you're trying to type a word, it's somebody's name, or there's something, there's a spelling you're trying to do, and you're like, shut up, I know what I'm doing, I've tried this 3 times, stop, leave me alone. Sometimes it's a real word they don't think belongs there, and now apparently it'll just put the line under it so you can decide whether or not you want to change it or not.
Oh, yeah. I always have issues with it, like splitting words up that are like real words, and then it like changes it, and I'm like, why did you do that?
Dude,
you should know that it's right.
I need them to do a better job with talk to text, because I sent a talk to text to somebody the other day and I read it back and I'm like, holy crap, I did not mean to say that.
Oh yeah,
I didn't say that.
Yeah, my friend actually posted on Twitter that she was just like screaming at traffic as she was driving, and it started to like take it down, and so that she shared it on Twitter. She's like, this was the interaction with me screaming at people on the road today.
That's hilarious. So now apparently a line will appear under the word and allow you to simply tap on the word to get back to the original version. Now, this will happen across the board, but The Guardian notes consumers will be especially pleased for this feature when using the word ducking is swapped in for another more profane one.
Duck that.
Shut the duck up. A substitution that served as a longstanding source of mirth or frustration. So there you go. So there we go. So that's really good news. I'm actually really excited about that. All right. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. I am Leland Conway. You can jump in the text box at 577-39, 577-39. Leland, my biggest fear, writes 8260, about this property tax thing is that Prop HH does go on the ballot and that it will get voted down. And then the legislature comes back and said, well, the people voted for higher property taxes, so we're not going to do anything. Okay, let me address that, because this is, how do I put this? This is a very interesting concern, and I've tried to be very honest and transparent with you about this. That's why I brought it up with Ben a while ago. We're playing a high-stakes poker game here, and unfortunately, it's a necessary play. We don't have a choice. The consequences are too massive. We're staring down the barrel of the loss of the longtime protection of taxpayers at Tabor. It's one of the few things that, despite all of the left-leaning aspects of what's going on in our state recently, have made this place tolerable in terms of a tax and business climate, is the fact that the state can only tax you so much and they got to give your money back. The loss of that, and the allowance of a rogue legislature to just do whatever the hell it wants, vote higher taxes in for anybody it wants to, and spend that money on anything it wants to, it's like Tabor is like the last dam holding back California. So this card has to be played. This bluff has to be called. Now, let me address the fear, because I appreciate this listener bringing this to the forefront, because it's an important consideration. As I've said, if the court rules against the lawsuit on Prop HH, it shouldn't, but it probably will. Meaning they'll probably allow Prop HH on the ballot. They shouldn't, but it probably will. Because we have corrupt judges, we have corrupt legislature. Everybody is hell-bent on this authoritarian, statist, leftist, wild-eyed, maniacal taking of your money. If they vote, if the judge rules that Prop HH can go on the ballot, we have to vote against it. We have to vote it down, which does, in fact, mean a massive tax increase the first year. However, understand that these spineless jackwagons that run our state are only scared of one thing: losing their position of prominence and power. And the outcry when people have to write those checks from both sides of the political aisle will be deafening. And it will require them, in order to avoid losing their position of power, to support the governor calling a special session. And remember, the governor has eyes on higher office. He's making moves to try to appear to be some sort of centrist, leftist, libertarian. He's not, but he's trying to make that prop. He's trying to make that image of himself, because he either plans to jump in 2024, or he plans to wait one more term and then jump in as the quote unquote common sense lefty in the room. So he will be supportive of calling a special session to deal with this. Now, again, yeah, we're playing a bluff game. Is it possible? Yes. But you have to remember when you're negotiating with someone, or you're dealing with something like this, you're at battle or war or fighting with someone, you have to understand who the enemy is. You have to understand what they think, where they come from, what's important to them. In this case, our rhetorical enemy, not our real enemy, but our rhetorical enemy. I mean, it is the enemy in that sense, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking peaceful terms here. But our rhetorical enemy in this case, our ideological enemy, is a legislature that thinks it can do whatever the hell it wants against the people's will, and it can lie to the people indiscriminately. They're getting called on it. That's what this process is. Voting down Prop HH is the people, the voters of Colorado, left, right, middle of the road, everywhere in between, putting their foot down and saying, this and no farther. You have crossed the line. We are together. We are united. You screwed up. You ducked up. And when that happens, the fear that goes through the spines of these jackwagons will be so palpable. Because when they see people from both sides of the aisle locking arms in unison and kicking Prop HH to the side of the road, it won't just be Republicans. It won't just be conservatives. It won't just be libertarians. This will be the people of Colorado. That's what it's going to take. And that means that at that point, we will have, if we can successfully beat it at the ballot box, it means we will have successfully educated enough Colorado voters, that enough Colorado voters will have seen through what the legislature is doing, that they will be so terrified that you will not only see them move in the right direction, but they will begin to speak in the right terms. Suddenly, they will be budget hawks and taxpayer protectors, and they will be doing all the right things and saying all the right things, because they will be terrified. Because they will know at that point, if Prop HH goes down despite the deceitful language they've put in there, the only possible interpretation, if you're these left-wing nutbags in the state legislature, the only possible interpretation of that is that the people of Colorado figured out their game. And the one thing they fear is enough people in the state of Colorado figuring out their game. That is their biggest fear. And they will do the right thing at that point, I believe. So, I don't know if that helps. I hope it is. I hope it is. But I appreciate this texter bringing it to the forefront because it's an important thing to address. It's the why behind. Why are we going to vote down this thing? Okay, next text comes in. Great point. 3860 writes, Leland, how do we get renters to get on board with us other than telling them your rent's going to go up? That's really kind of the main thing. But there's two things I would do with this. Number one, this is going to be a huge part of the conversation. A huge part of the conversation is going to be explaining to renters that your rent's going up because those taxes are going to get paid somehow and they're not going to get paid by the property owner, so your rent is going up. This will probably affect renters worse than it'll affect homeowners because people who are in their homes probably can figure out a way budgetarily to go ahead and get this thing done. But the second prong of how you educate renters is a lot of renters, the vast majority of renters, eventually want to own a home. And it is going to be that much more difficult to reach that nexus financially where you can afford a home when property taxes are this big of a consideration in the mortgage from the get-go, right? Like once you get to that point where you're in the home, taxes going up affects you negatively. It hurts. But it's going to do a lot more to price people out of buying a home that are saving for a home. So we have to attack it on two fronts. One, we have to communicate clearly to renters that your rent's going to go up, number one. But for that percentage of renters, it's probably a pretty high percentage that eventually want to own a home. This could knock you out of being able to buy one for who knows how many more years. Because now you need a big down payment, you need more income to prove, you need a better debt-to-income ratio because all of this is going to be factored into your mortgage payment. And your mortgage payment already went up because interest rates are 7% now. But it's also going to be another $150, $200 a month tacked on top of that for the property taxes. And so we have to explain to renters on the twofold front. One, your rent's going up regardless, which is going to deter you from being able to save for that down payment. It's going to eat into your budget. But your rent's going up regardless. But if you do want to own a home, it could price you out of it for another who knows how many years. I think if you do that, that's how you do it. 8880 says, Leland, you're a dreamer. Libs voted in a brain-dead Fetterman, Feinstein, and Biden. Look, I get that. But I honestly think there's a lot of ignorant voters out there. And I think if we can educate people, look, what do you want to do? You want to quit? You want to quit? You want to just go ahead and let them take higher property taxes from you? Or do you want to play this high-stakes poker game and get them to do what? Why don't we manipulate the legislature for once? They've been manipulating us for decades. Why don't we manipulate them for once? And we can manipulate them by taking away and threatening the thing they fear the most. And the thing they fear the most is losing their position of power and influence. At the end of the day, that is the only thing that we have as a tool to hold these jackwagons accountable. And so if you're telling me that I'm a dreamer and that you're just going to give up and you're not going to try to educate every single person. I told you, I have friends on the left. I have talked to those friends on the left. They are livid because I have explained to them. Once you explain to them, it doesn't matter what their party is. Once you explain to them what this does, they get pissed just like you and I do. So you can be a quitter all you want, but I am not going to be a quitter. And I'm going to use this platform for as long as I have it to fight for you and for me, because I'm sick of this nickel and diming of Colorado taxpayers for these ridiculous socialist pipe dreams that we keep getting foisted on us. We'll continue. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. All right, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. I am Leland Conway. Coming up on Twisted View on Friday, here's a topic we'll have some fun with, B-Large. The times you actually do want a Karen around, if there's actually a time when they're useful. One of the biggest races I meant to mention last night was my favorite race, and that was that Candy C. DeBaca, the communist that sits on city council, lost her race handily to Daryl Watson. So that was a huge move in the right direction for Denver. I think that was pretty awesome. Have you ever seen this? It's an Instagram page, B-Large, called Turons of Yellowstone. Like, it's like a play off of morons.
Oh, no, never seen it.
Okay. Tourons of Yellowstone is basically these idiots that go to national parks and they get too close to the animals and they end up getting bitten. Like they end up getting, you know, they pay for it, right? It becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. Yellowstone National Park is stressing not to approach the animals. Officials are saying it again. Do not approach or interact with wild animals. So far, a man was charged and tried for disturbing a baby bison that then had to be put down. Someone else put a baby elk in their car. The bison was rejected by the herd after the human touched it. The rule is that visitors must stay at least 25 yards away from all wildlife and at least 100 yards away from bears and wolves. Enforcement has been ramped up to protect wildlife. I have seen so many videos of people getting too close to the bison,
mm-hmm.
and then they get gored. There was a lady, she was like, this bison was standing right by one of those walkways that goes over like where the hot springs are or whatever,
uh-huh.
those geysers. She's walking along the thing, and this bison is like standing right next to it. So she goes up, and she's got her little camera, and she's like, "Ah, oh, look at you, so cute." And she's like going to pet its nose, and it just like drops its head down, and then poof, it throws her like across to the other side and out into the grass. It was pretty hilarious. I love it. I love Tourons of Yellowstone because all it's doing is showing you dumbasses who don't understand nature. Love it. Hey, man. Tomorrow will be a fun day. Be back again. Dan Kaplis is up next. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.